Okay, Rabbi, so let's begin. We're up to the Kina Beis. Rabbi Sai, order in the court. Okay, we're up to Kina Beis. Kina Beis, yesterday we spent a little bit of Hagdama, now we're up to Kina Beis. Kina Beis is this year we recite Kina Beis. Most years, not mostly, but many years, we do not recite Kina Beis. Kina Beis is only recited on Mitzoy Shabbos. Because the refrain of the Kina is V'hinoyam Nishbas. The words V'hinoyam Hashem Elokeinu Eleinu Ma'ase Yadeinu Kona Eleinu Ma'ase Yadeinu Koneu is not said Mitzvah Shabbos. Ordinarily, every Mitzvah Shabbos, we recite V'hi Noyam. Why do we recite V'hi Noyam? It's basically a tefillah that we should be successful in making a good parnasa during the week. This was a blessing that Moshe Rabbeinu gave Klal Yisrael when they finished the Mishkan. When the Mishkan was complete, Moshe assessed, surveyed, inspected the Mishkan before they issued the permit. Moshe was the building code inspector for the state of the desert. And before they got their permit to get a certificate of occupancy. Before they got the certificate of occupancy, what does it say over here? It said by the Beis Hamikdash, occupancy of more than 600,000 people is dangerous on and off until they got the. So when he made his inspection and he surveyed the Mishkan, he blessed the people with the bracha V'hi Noyam Hashem Elokeinu Oleinu U'Ma'ase Yodeinu Koin Oleinu Moshe. He blessed Klal Yisrael. Beis. I'm doing now Kina, the second Kina. Okay, so page 52. Mm-hmm. I have a different edition
interlinear. So let me follow along with you.
So it's this in general. We say we. No, it's fine. Thank you. Tell me, give me good advice. Tell me what's going on here. So if Akida Beis, every Mitzvah Shabbos, we recite this pasuk. We reflect upon the ultimate labor in this world. The Mishkan, Chazal tell us, the Mishkan involved 32 acts of labor. The 32 melachos that are forbidden on Shabbos. 39. What am I saying? The 39, the Chaf, the Lamites Melachos of Shabbos, were all drawn from the Mishkan. If there was an activity that was not done in the Mishkan, even though in our eyes it may be considered, it may be viewed as something which is labor intensive, it's not called the Melacha. All of the Melachos of Shabbos are derived. All the melachos of Shabbos are derived from the building of the Mishkan. And in turn, all of those melachos of the Mishkan were done in the creation of the world. So they go together. The Mishkan, the melachos of the Mishkan, and the acts of labor in the creation of the world, they go together. When we now head into the week on Mitzvah Shabbos, when melacha once again is permitted, so we want to be successful, and we want to draw from the success of the building of the Mishkan. Klal Yisrael, they were engaged in constructive labor that certainly brought blessing to this world, because the Mishkan was the place of the Hashuas Hashchina for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Similarly, when we engage in that labor during the week, we want our labor to be blessed and to be a vehicle to bring the Shechina into this world. So every Mitzvah Shabbos, when it becomes permitted once again to engage in labor, we begin by reciting the blessing that Moshe Rabbeinu gave Klal Yisrael upon witnessing, upon surveying, analyzing the most successful construction project in the world. And that is V'hi Noyam. That was his blessing, and we want to draw from that blessing. So we also should have a week where our activities should bring blessing to this world, a blessing similar to what our ancestors did, where they brought the Shechina down to this world through their labor. Fine. Now, and it's for this reason that when Yom Tov falls out in the middle of the week, we do not say V'hi Noyam. If Yom Tov falls out on any day of the week, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, we do not recite V'hi Noyam, because we only recite V'hi Noyam Mitzvah Shabbos only when it will be a full week of work, a full 6 days of work. If we're going to encounter a holiday where we're not going to be able to engage in labor, then you do not recite Vihinoyam. What about if Pesach falls out on Shabbos, the following Shabbos? Pesach falls out, so L'chora, you would think, if Pesach falls out on Shabbos, so we have a full 6 days, right? No, you don't. Because Erev Pesach, you bring the Korban Pesach. Yeah, Baruch?
It's only
in Shawaya.
That week
you don't say it. In
America, you say
Vihinoyam? Yes. Even though the Korban Pesach?
Depends which shul you go to.
Okay.
Because in Shalayim, there's an Issa Malach the whole day.
And
even from the morning, there's an Issa Malach. Chutzlaretz is always Issa Malach until Chatzos.
Until Chatzos. And even a half a day, even a half a day
there's a conception like that, but that's not
the... Okay, not the common opinion. Generally, so we say every Mitzvah Shabbos, we say Vihinan because we have a week ahead of us of labor, and we want to draw from the bracha that Moshe gave Klal Yisrael upon witnessing the most successful project, melacha, that was done in this world to build the Mishkan. However, Mitzoy, but now when the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, we don't say when Tisha B'Av falls out on Mitzoy Shabbos, we don't say Vihinoyah. We don't say Vihinoyam. Why don't we say Vihinoyam? How can you say Vihinoyam if the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed? And the Beis HaMikdash is basically an extension of the Mishkan. It's part of the Avelos. Moshe Rabbeinu recited Vihinoyam upon witnessing the success of the building of the Mishkan / the Beis HaMikdash. Well, if the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed and is no longer, then there's nothing to say Vihinoyam. There's no need to say Vihinoyam because there is no Beis HaMikdash. Obviously, it was not very successful. If it had to be the Kadosh Baruch Hu had to take away from us the Beis HaMikdash, obviously the labor of building the Mishkan wasn't that very successful because it was destroyed. So therefore, we don't say Vihinoyam. And that is the theme of this Kina. Kina is Vihinoyam Nishbas. The Hinoyam has been silenced because the Hinoyam was recited upon the success of building the Mishkan / the Beis HaMikdash. And now that it has been destroyed, there's nothing to say the Hinoyam. Ve'enenu. So the Hinoyam Nishbas b'motzo'ei Shabbos. That's the refrain. And in the process, we go and we mention different ideas. The first thing that is mentioned is something which is very important. A, how could it be mipi from the pair of the Bein Ubas, the son and the daughter, Hagois Kinois Rabas, who expressed, how could it be that the Hagois means the thoughts which are expressed in words, that Tumur Shirim V'chedvas, ordinarily Mitzoy Shabbos, let's just read it very, very simply, we'll say what it means in more depth, but ordinarily, Mitzvah Shabbos, we sing Zmiros. Mitzvah Shabbos, you sing Zmiros. What are the Zmiros? Shirim, songs, the Chedvas. You rejoice, Mitzvah Shabbos. And who leads us in song and rejoicing? The children, the Ben and the Bas. Hashomer Shabbos, Habein im Habas. Here, there's the one of the Zmiros on Shabbos is Dror Yikrar. It says, Bein and Bas. The ones who you sit around the Shabbos table with your son and daughter and they sing, you sing. So the same way you sing on Shabbos, you also sing Zemiros and Mitzvah Shabbos. So the Mekoinen complains that Tamur, in exchange of the Shirim and the Chedvas that was said by the Bein Ubas, instead now on this Mitzvah Shabbos, you sit around the table with your Ben and Bas and you wail Kinois to mention the great tragedy that has befallen Klal Yisrael. So we mentioned earlier, Bein Ubas, simply at face value, it's referring to every person in their home. There's a Bein Ubas who leads us in song, similar to Dror Yikra, but we mention Bein Ubas, and that itself is a very important statement. This is one of the ideas that Rav Soloveitchik, Rav Yosher Soloveitchik, was very, 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 put a lot of Koyachim to bring out this idea in many different ways. He compares Pesach to Tisha B'Av. Pesach, everyone is familiar, it's V'gadita Levencha. You sit around the table with your children, and there's the din of Haggadah, to relate to your children the story of the Exodus in detail. They ask questions, you answer, it is a time for the family. I always like to tell you, did you ever, there's a halacha, who, according to the letter of the law, is supposed to teach children Torah? You have an obligation to teach your children Torah. So what do most parents do? 99.9% of the population does not homeschool their children for Limudei Kodesh. Limudei Chol, I don't know, but Limudei Kodesh, you see, Pukhazima Madvar, homeschooling is not popular in Orthodox community. You send your child to yeshiva. To a yeshiva, you pick any yeshiva you want. You send your child to a Jewish school to learn Jewish education. It's not popular. Jewish education is not, homeschooling is not a popular thing. By the Goyim, it's to a degree that some popularity, and even by Jews, there's some popularity in homeschooling children for secular education, but not for Jewish education. Why not? Basically, they'll tell you, in school they can do a better job. You go to a yeshiva, they have rebbeim, they have a whole staff, you pay good tuition, they can do a much better job than I can do with my children. I don't have time, I'm busy, I'm tired, I'm not good at this, I don't even know anything. I can only teach if I know. I don't know. I hope my children are better than me. They know a lot more than me. So you send them where it's better. So here's the question. The night of the Seder, there's a mitzvah, the Gadata Levincha Bayon Avuleima. You know, across the street, there's a beautiful house. They're very wealthy. They have very good food, very good accommodations. And the parents are very learned. They're very big Talmidei Chachamim. And the grandparents, you know, why don't I send my child across the street and let him sit at that Seder? At that Seder, they'll do a much better job educating my children about Yitzias Mitzrayim than I can do in my house. Why is it you've never heard a parent say, for the Pesach Seder, in the midst of Yigat Levincha Bayom HaHulemar, I'm going to send my child to a yeshiva. I'll send my child to my next door neighbor, or to my cousins, or my relatives, because, what? So why are they open? They'll do a much better job, the Lel Seder, across the street, or by my cousin, my nephew, my uncle, or who knows where, my neighbor. No, but the hotel, you sit with your own family. Why don't you send your kid? Just like when it comes to yeshiva, Jewish education, you don't do it yourself. And the reason why you don't do it yourself is because they do a better job. They do a better job in yeshiva. So there's a mitzvah, the Lel Seder, v'higadita levincha b'yom ha'ulemar b'avur zeh. So I'll make someone a shuliach to be mekayim the mitzvah, v'higadita levincha. There are professionals who know how to answer the questions a lot better than I can do it. And when it comes to matzah, they have better matzah, and they have better mora, and better everything. So why don't you send your children off to a better seder, to the mekayim the mitzvah v'higadita levincha? Obviously, there's a dimension in v'higadita levincha that is not the same when it comes to Jewish education. V'higadita levincha means that your children, you do it yourself. There's a flavor. There is a dimension of Haggadah that can only be done by a biological parent. So Rav Yosher Ber Soloveitchik, many different versions of what he said, when he said it, and all the different things that have been reproduced from when he gave his famous Shiurim on Tisha B'Av, he said the same din of Higadata Levincha with regard to Yitzias Mitzrayim applies on Tisha B'Av. Is a parent, he sits around at home on the floor with his children and has an obligation to relate to them firsthand the Churban Beis HaMikdash. And there are different passages in the Kinois that mamish say these words explicitly. And the opening Kina Beis, where it says, Eich mipi bein uvas, hagois kinois rabas, how could it be that from the mouth of bein uvas did expressions of kinois increase on this night instead of the children of this night singing zemirois Eliyo Hanavi, singing the Zemiras of Mitzvah Shabbos. The Bein Ubas here right away touches upon the very beginning of the Kinois, Kina Beis, which to a certain degree is almost the first Kina, because the other Kina we have before is really just a repetition of the last Perek in Eicha. It right away sets the tone. Immediately is that the din of Kinois, the din of Tisha B'Av is Vihigadita Levincha. A parent has a duty to relate to his child the Churban, and to understand how to deal with it, to appreciate what happened, and to prepare to rebuild, to restore what we had. Just like, no different than a parent that has an obligation firsthand to relate to his children Yitzias Mitzrayim. No excuses. Don't go send your child to a better Seder. No such thing. No such thing. It's your children, it's your job. It's your children, it's your Ben Ubas, it's your duty to relate to them the kinos. And this is brought out right here in the very first kina. Now there's another idea that is brought out by many of the Mefarsh, that the Ben Ubas here refers specifically to two individuals who have no name. The Ben Ubas of Rabbi Yishmael Kohen Gadol. In the kina, during the day, towards the end, one of the kinas, I don't remember which number it was, is where we mentioned is that horrible story, where there were two people that took the two Romans, Tom Lechum Bayesheni, that took one took the son of Rabbi Yishmael Kohen Gadol, one took the daughter, and they were very impressed with the royalty, with the midos, the refinement of the spoils of war, and they were bragging to each other in a bar. And then they came up with an idea, why don't we mate these two servants, these two slaves that we have purchased in the market, and the offspring will be of the highest quality, and will make a killing in the market. The business. Jewish blood is nothing more than a business. Business, will make money. We'll make money off the Churban of Klal Yisrael. And they put them into a room, and each one was in one corner, and they cried. They cried, and they said to themselves, how could it possibly be? How could this be my fate after all this? After all this, I'm an enikel of Aaron HaKoyen. I'm going to now be married off to a slave. And the daughter of Rabbi Yishmael similarly cried, how could it be? I'm the daughter of Yocheved. I'm going to be married to a slave. And they cried the entire night. In the morning, when there was a little light came into the room, they recognized that they were brother and sister. It says in the kina, they embraced and they died. The tsar of what they experienced, they died. And we allude to them, according to many of the commentators here in this kina, from the mouth of Bein Ubas. That's the Bein Ubas of Rabbi Yishmael Kohen Gadol. Hagois Kinois Rabas, the cries, the expressions of lament that they gave forth on that evening, that fateful night when they were taken, they were captives, and they were brought together in a room to be mated one to the other. How could that have been to more in exchange of shirim v'chedvas instead of songs of joy and simcha? And you have to then it has a whole different meaning. Then the shirim v'chedvas would then mean the singing of marriage, because in the prayer, in their lament that they cried in that kina, they were describing their fate in getting married. They were at the age where at this point in time in their life they would have married. And instead of them marrying a person who was appropriate for them, they were being mated to what they thought was a slave, a non-Jew. And instead of the shirim v'chedvas that accompany the sheva brachos, of the chuppah of a chasan and kala, instead it increased the hagois of kinois from these two children. Now the question is that I don't. Oh, wait, Rav Mordechai is here. Rav Mordechai Binstock, shalom aleichem, welcome.
I'm sorry.
Welcome. It's good to see you.
Thank you.
It's good to see you, Baruch Hashem.
Right. Okay, thank you.
Wonderful. So the question, I don't have an answer to this. Maybe you have an answer. Maybe someone here in Mirror Mayevsky, you have a brilliant mind. You can tell us what this means over here. Why Dafka Mitzvah Shabbos? Why Dafka do we focus specifically on the Ben Abbas Rabbi Shmuel Kohen Gadol, specifically according to that interpretation, that the Ben Abbas refers to the Rabbi Shmuel Kohen Gadol, the Ben Abbas, why specifically Mitzvah Shabbos? What is the quality? I don't know. There has to be something. Niyuchid.
For what?
We're doing the kina, the kina base.
Which particular kina?
We're mentioning the Bein Ubas Rabbi Shmuel Kohen Gadol, specifically in a kina that is dedicated to Mitzoy Shabbos. Mitzoy Shabbos. I don't know. There must be some connection. All right, we'll leave it with that.
But okay. We go there all the time, and you know, Mitzoy Shviyas, Mitzoy Shviyas.
Mashiach will come. There's a chazal. Okay, it's more of an intent. Could be okay. There has to be something very deep. Something.
Yeah.
Okay, let's go now to the next kina. Kina Gimel. Kina Gimel is Belel Zayifkiyun v'Yelilu Vonai. So I saw one of the farish the svarim that says there's a very strong emphasis Belel Zeh. It's not Balaila, Balaila Hahu, Nodadosh Nasamelech. In the Megillah, Balaila Hahu. It doesn't say Balaila Hazeh, Balel Zeh, Balaila Hahu, on that night. It's a story, Jewish history. It was a Maizah Shahaya in Persia, in Shushan Abira. It was a Gzeru Lahash Bilahar Gulahabit Eskola Yehudim in Ari Adzokim. We don't relive the experience. Again, this is another example of connecting. Another idea where we connect Tisha B'Av to Pesach. All the Moadim, we don't relive it. It's not a reenactment. It's a zeich. Comes to Shavuos. It doesn't say anywhere Chayiv Adam Laharois Es Atzmo Ki Iluhu B'Kabel Torah. It doesn't say it anywhere. It doesn't say that when it comes to the Yom Tov of Shavuos, you have to imagine that right now you'd be Makabal, you're at Har Sinai, you're Makabal with Torah. I mean, they do say, the Rosh Yeshiva say it. It's a Naya Kabbalah Satoira, right? They'll all say the Yeshiva Shah, a Naya Kabbalah Satoira. Every day is a Naya Kabbalah Satoira. Asha Boch Arbonim Mikol Huamin. Okay, 100%, but you're with the different Madregas. There are different Dargas. You don't hear people saying on Shavuos, that it is mamish, you're there. The only time you find this principle of actually being, it's equivalent to being present, is Lel Pesach. Chayiv Adam Lirois Atzmo Ki Ilu Hu Yotzon Nimitram Ramam. Chayiv Adam Laharois Es Atzmo. Of course, everything that we do to a degree, we are reenacting, we are reliving the experience, but there are different levels. And the one that reaches the highest level of reenactment is only Pesach. It only says it by Pesach. Yet Tisha B'Av is also the same thing. Even though you would argue that on the night of Pesach, on the night of Tisha B'Av is when the Meraglim return, and the Meraglim said that the land is a land that we are not able to ascend. It's not beyond us to succeed in conquering this land. And on that night, Vayivku ha'om ba'layla ha'hu, and it says they cried, and they cried, and I said, you want to cry? I'll give you what to cry for. And indeed, for Doros, we have been crying on the night of Tisha B'Av. But the night of Tisha B'Av in this kina is described Bilel Zeh. On this night, Yivkoyun v'yililu vonai, Bilel Zeh, on this night, Chodav Beis Kodshi, the Nishrifu Armonai, the Beis Hamikdash has been destroyed and my palace has been burnt. The whole Beis Yisrael Yagub Bigoinai, all of the Jewish people, they lament, they express themselves with agony. The Yivku, they cry, Es Hasreifa Asher Saraf Hashem. And it goes on, all these different ideas, but the motif of this kina is Bilel Zeh. Don't go look back, oh, it happened. Happened 1,952 years ago. No. Happened now, right now. Relive the experience. Just like Lel Pesach, Chayiv Adam, Lirois Es Atzmo, Kilu Hu Yotzam in Mitzrayim, there is a real Bitzesim in Mitzrayim, Bitzesim in Yerushalayim, At Bash, the first night of Pesach is the same day of the week of Tisha B'Av. There's an actual reliving of the experience, and the Koinein expresses this with the words Belel Zeh. That's what he said. They cried. So Hashem said, you had something.
This Laila was designated to be crying.
No, so it's not just this Laila was designated, because if that would be the case, the word Belel Zeh has even a more powerful. I'm telling you from a sefer called from a sefer. It's saying the word Belel Zeh. If we would just reflect upon what it said in Chazal, it says it by Yivku Ha'am Balayla Ahu, Ahalayla Ahu. It says so. Why then did the Mekoinein transform the words Belel Zeh in the Purim story? Balayla Ahu Nada Doshna Sanel. We don't relive it. There's a gezeira. Something happened on that night. Something happened at that time, at the time of the Meraglim. There was the Churban Beis Hamikdash. When we relate to it, what do we call Belel Zeh? The emphasis, the word Zeh, is coming to connote Yeshu, relive the experience. Just like Lel Pesach, we relive the experience. The only way to appreciate the day is to relive the experience. Okay, let's go now to the next kina. Kina Dalet, we say this kina twice. We say it the night of Tisha B'Av, we say it also by day. The last kina, after we say Elitzion V'Arecha, Kumo Yisho V'Tzidecha, after we conclude the last kina, what we think is the last kina, we say this kina again, Shomrein. So this kina is said twice. Kina Dalet. Okay, it's on in your kinois, on the regular edition that you have. It is on page 58. 58 is Shomrein. Shomrein? What is Shomrein? Shomrein, we know that Klal Yisrael was divided between after Shlomo HaMelech died, he had a son, Rechavam. Rechavam succeeded Shlomo HaMelech. And he was a tough guy. And already there were some problems already happening in Klal Yisrael. And not everyone took to Rechavam. And Rechavam, he took advisors. He took advisors, young people. And he had different advisors. He had the young advisors and the old advisors. And the question was taxes: should we raise the taxes or should we lower the taxes? And the young advisors, the youngsters said, raise the taxes, rule with an iron fist. And the Zakenim said, go easy. The generation, they need, you know, some tender, loving care. Go easy. Unconditional love. Okay, unconditional love. Tender, loving care. And every tekufa, every generation is different. You can never generalize. There's always a need to reassess, to reevaluate how to lead, how to guide. And he made a mistake. He listened to the youngsters. And he began to with an iron fist, and he raised the taxes, and there was a rebellion, and the Malchus split. The Malchus, Yeravam ben Nevat, he was given legitimacy by Achia HaShiloini. This wasn't just a rebellion that was like the United States. The rebellion against the British wasn't just, people that rebelled on their own. This was it was sanctioned by the Prophet. Okay, this is not, you have to be very careful that the beginning of the Aseres HaShvatim, the Malchus of Yisrael, was given legitimacy by the Ribbono Shel Olam through the Navi Achia HaShiloni, who was anointed Yeravam ben Nevat. And unfortunately, power corrupts. And absolute power corrupts absolutely. And the Malchus of Yisrael was only meant to be a temporary Malchus. It was not meant to last very long until Klal Yisrael got back on track and restored their allegiance to the Malchus of Yehuda. But things turned sour, and it never really was restored, and it became viewed as a rebellious Malchus later on. But the Malchus split between the Malchus of Yehuda and the Malchus of Yisrael, and this lasts all the way down until 130 years before the Churban Bayis Rishon, when when Sancheirif in three waves exiled the Aseres Hashvatim. In three different periods, he exiled the Aseres Hashvatim. We really do not know what happened to the Aseres Hashvatim. Some say that they returned, some of them returned, none of them returned, they will return, they never will return. This is a sugya that goes on forever and ever. What exactly happened to the Aseres Hashvatim? But the Aseres Hashvatim were part of what's called the Malchus of Yisrael, that had their headquarters in Shomron. Shomron was equivalent to Yerushalayim. Yerushalayim was the headquarters of the Malchus of Yehuda, which only included Shevet Yehuda and Binyamin, only two Shvatim, that always was headed by a descendant of the Malchus of David. And the Malchus of Yisrael, there were different kings, there were a lot, most of them were Shoyim, and there were civil wars continuously between the Malchus of Yisrael and the Malchus of Yehuda. What a mess. And at the end, 130 years before the Chum Beis HaMikdash, the Malchus of Yisrael was exiled, the Aseres Hashem was exiled, and Shomron, their capital, was destroyed. And here in this kina is based upon a whole parak in Cheskel, This is basically taken from Yecheskel, where there is a conversation between the Malchus of Yisrael and the Malchus of Yehuda sitting on a park bench long after the Churban, and they're commiserating with each other, and each one is describing the tzorois that they've experienced. And Shomron, the Malchus of Yisrael, says to the Malchus of Yehuda, we suffered a lot more than you. Our Churban was much greater than yours. And the Malchus of Yehuda says, no, you got it wrong. We suffered more. Each one, they're commiserating with one another, they're complaining with one another, and each one is coming to claim that their suffering was worse than the other. There are two code words here, Ohola and Ohaliva. Ohola means her tent. Ohaliva is a contraction of two words, Ohali, Ohel Shali. Ohel Shali refers to the Malchus of Yehuda, because that's Hashem's tent. The tent there is Yerushalayim. The word tent is a code word for the Beis HaMikdash, a tent. Is a tent, the Mokum of the Shechina, the Ohel Moed. And that's the Ohel Sheli. Hashem says, that's my tent. That's the original. That's where I rested my divine presence in the building of Shlomo HaMelech, the Beis HaMikdash, Yerushalayim, Yerakodesh, the Malchus of Yehuda. The rebels of the Malchus of Yisrael, which was headed by Yerovam ben Nevat, and which took within the Aseres HaShvatim, that is called Ohola, her tent. So the word Ohola is a code word for the Malchus of Yisrael, her tent. They built two fake Batei Mikdashos in Beis El and in Dan, and they erected golden calves, and they made their own holidays. It's unbelievable. It sounds to us as bizarre as can possibly be. They made their own religion, it sounds like. And that was the Malchus of Yisrael, Ohola, her tent, verse Oholiva, Ohel Shali, my tent. And here, each one complains to each other. It's based upon the Perik in Yecheskel, Perik of Gimel. I'll read just a little bit of the words. Shomron is the Malchus of Yisrael. Their capital was in Shomron. Kol titein mitzuli avoynai. They cry out and they acknowledge, look what happened, Hashem destroyed us. We have been exiled 130 years before you were exiled by Sancheriv, and they've been lost. They've assimilated. They've disappeared in the world. Le'eretz acheres yisuli vonai, to a different land, to Ashur. They were taken, they relocated to the land of Ashur. The Ohaliva, Tizak, and Ohaliva, which is the Malchus of Yehuda, Tizak, they cry out, Nisrefu Armonai, our Beis HaMikdash was destroyed 130 years later. That was only the two Shvatim of Yehuda and Binyamin. Vatoymer Sion, Azavani Hashem. And now they begin their conversation. Loy Lach HaHaliva. chashoy v'on yech ka'oni. So, Ohola, the Malchus of Yisrael, says to the Malchus of Yehuda, what are you talking about? You had it good. It's not like Ohaliva. Ohaliva means the Malchus of Yehuda. Don't think, chashoyv, think on yech, that your suffering came anywhere near on ye, like my suffering. Hasam shili chol yech l'shivri ul'chol yech. Can you compare your suffering, your sickness, to what I suffered? So what does she say back? Ani ohala, and then she explains. Ani ohala sura bogaditi vikoshi. I confess that I have been displaced. Bogaditi, I have rebelled. Vikoshi, my stubbornness. Vikomolai kachashi, and it has come upon me, my deceitfulness. The honor, the merry, basically, I got what I deserved. Ulimiksas hayomim shilamti mishni, and I was exiled much earlier than you. In other words, you lived 130 years more than me. I died. The Malchus of Yisrael was cut off very quickly. He suffered to die young, basically. They came to an end. The Malchus of Yisrael came to an end 130 years before the Malchus of Yehuda. The Siglas Pil Eser, that's another name for Sancheriv. Ochal Aspiri, Chemdosi, Poshat Vitzilis Edi, took away my clothing, my ornaments. They took me to the far ends of the world. Lach V'chavar, Doimi Yoholiva, silence! Don't you dare complain, Malchus of Yehuda. You had it good. You remained in the land for another 130 years. Al tifki b'kivki. Shonoi saich aruchu. You have long years. V'aruchu shonoi. V'ahaliva tizak. Ahaliva says, what are you talking about? You think you had it good. You had it bad. We had it a lot worse. She cries, Nishifu Amonai. Okay, I'll give you one more line. Mishiva Holi, just one more. She says that, you don't know what you're talking about. We had it much worse than you. She says, Mishiva Holiva, Ani Chenek Nekashti. I was wicked. I acknowledge my sins. Uvaluf Miurai Keholo Bogadati. And I rebelled in my youth just like you did. But you be quiet. Doim Yeholo, Ki Yigoini Zocharti. Nodadit at achas v'rabois nodaditi. You were only exiled once, but we were exiled twice. Hinei biyad hakastim pamayim nilkaditi, u'shevia ania lebovel yoraditi. V'nishraf ahechol ashebo nichbaditi, u'lushim shon bebovel nifkaditi, v'shavti l'tzion oy v'hechol yosaditi, gam zos apam ma'at lo'yamaditi, ad lo'kach yedoyim chamat avaditi, v'yal kolorosos nofetsu hamonai. So he's saying over here is, your suffering came to an end. You were exiled and you disappeared. We were exiled, we came back, and we were destroyed again. So we suffered doubly. Some people, Rachmana Litzlan, in the Holocaust, they said the people who died in the beginning were lucky. Because the people that were not killed when they arrived in the concentration camps were tortured beyond belief. Beyond belief. It's like not to be believed with some of the things you read, what went on in the concentration camps. The torturing, the humiliation, the suffering, the starvation. And they look back at the people when they arrived on that first day, the people that were sent to the left and were killed, they were killed, but they didn't suffer to the degree that we suffer. So, you know, suffering is always relative to what a person suffers. So here Ahaliva says to Allah, you did an Avera, and Hashem brought upon you punishment, and that's the end. We were tortured because we were not eliminated, we were exiled, we then came back to rebuild and then to suffer again. Okay, so this goes on and on, this whole conversation between these two, and obviously it's no good either way. Obviously this is just a technique of bringing out tzaros of Klal Yisrael, Ohola and Ohaliva. Okay, then we go to Kinehei. Kinehei is a kina of the mazolus. Kina hay is arranged in the letters of the aleph base. Okay, as you see, it begins. Okay, on kina hay is on page 62. Oz b'chatoenu charav mikdash kei ad ona b'chia b'tzion mispei b'shlein. This kina is a kina of the mazolus. Now, what's very strange about this kina is, we discussed this, ein mazel li Yisrael. There's no such thing as mazel li Yisrael. And yet in this kina it says, all of the mazolos, they mourn together with Klal Yisrael. And in fact, if you go through the art school, they're very good, they put in bold, in each stanza, they show you the mazolos. Okay, and you see by the letter Tess, starting the letter Tess, it says Shor, then it says Te'oimim, Sarton, Aryeh, Besula, Moznaim, Akav, Uvidli, and in the article, you actually have on the bottom, they have all the mazolos, and these are the mazolos, and it says here, look at the letter Pei, just give you one example, a random example, letter Pei, it says, Palgeimayim, Hoyridu Dimo Kanachal. Okay, the Jewish people, they gave forth streams of tears. Ki ois bakeshes lo nitan lanu. A sign of the rainbow was not given to us. The rainbow is a sign that Hashem is not going to bring a marble to the world.
What's the significance of the mazolos?
So that's the question. That's exactly the question. Because the question, the bigger question is, mazolos l'chor have nothing to do with Klal Yisrael. Hashem said to Avraham Avinu, same it's tagmina shalacha vayotzi oitzo hachutza abedna ha-shamayma ure'eim yuchon lusfor oitzon. And Hashem says to Avram Avinu, same it's tagminas, and we learn from this principle, ein mazol li Yisrael. Really? What do you say when you go to a chasna? Mazal tov. Mazal tov, no? Mazal tov. Mazal tov. So what do you mean ein mazol li Yisrael? How can we say mazal tov? And, okay, let's put that question aside, and let's ask another question. We learned this last week, is that in the person has kishem shem shenichnas ador mar b'besim v'kach mishenichnas av memahatim besim. The other way around. Kishem shenichnas av memahatim besim v'kach kishem shenichnas av memahatim besim v'kach mishenichnas ador mar b'besim v'kach. Then the Gemara goes further. Therefore, what is the nafkamina? If a person has a din, has a lawsuit with a Gentile, he should schedule it in Chodesh Adar and not schedule in Chodesh Av, because in Chodesh Av, we have bad mazel. And in Chodesh Adar, we have good mazel. Mazel? What are you talking about? Mazel? Everyone knows. Every child knows. Ein mazel li Yisrael. What's going on? So what's going on? So we have a Gemara that talks about mazel. We have a kina where everyone is, the kina where all of the mazolos are mourning over our fate. And we have a blessing that we give each other at a time of simcha, mazal tov. You should merit to have a good mazel. So how do we explain this? I don't know. I don't know. This is a tough question, which is not so simple. But on a very simple level, what appears to be is that Klal Yisrael is only subject, only blessed with the principle of Ein Mazel Yisrael, Bizman She'oisim Yitzoy Neshoma. Only when you're doing Hashem's will. When Klal Yisrael is Oisim Yitzoy Neshoma, then there's no Ein Mazel Yisrael. When Klal Yisrael is Nichshol in Chet, and they lose their favor in Hashem, then they fall back in their Mazel. And when you fall back in the Mazel, it's not good. Because Avraham Avinu, when he, before Hashem told him, Tzeim Yitzdag Ninus, Avraham Avinu said, I have no hope. Avraham said to Hashem, look at the Mazolas. Look at the stars. Look at my constellation. This is, I've been wired. You created a world, and in the world, there are people, you don't understand how this world works, but there are different elements, and everyone has their purpose, everyone has their thing, and Avraham Avinu said to Hashem, according to my mazel, I cannot have a child. I will die childless. That's the way it is. I have no future. Zero. So Hashem said, say it's tagninus. Don't look at your mazel. I'm giving you a koyach to leave. You are the one who brought my divine presence to this world. You're not subject to mazel. Tisha B'Av, Hashem's divine presence has left. On Tisha B'Av, we go back to Avraham Avinu before Hashem said, saying it's like Ninus. We go back to before that moment. Avram Ho'ivri, Avram brought, who's the Baal Habira? Tisha B'Av, the Beis Hamikdash has been destroyed, the divine presence of Hashem has left this earth. We're going back to a matzah of existence before Tseim Itz Tagninus. And what do we have? We're back to the mazel. And what does it say in the mazel? You have no future. There's what to cry about. In this kina, we go back to the mazel. We look, because that's what we have. We're back to square one. Back to square one. Back to the mazel. It's not pretty. It's not pretty. And this kina, we're looking at the mazel and we're saying, Pal ge mayim horidu dimo kanachal. When we look at the mazel of the keshes, we're in trouble. We're going to cry. When you look at the mazel of Dili, Safu mayim al rashem v'dili mole, chikeinu yavesh, our palate is dry. We're taking the words of the mazelos, we're embedding them into words of kina. Because now, when we return to Avram Avinu Koiden, saying it's Tagninus, and we look at the mazel, we're toast. Okay, that explains a little bit why we focus on mazel on Tisha B'Av. It doesn't explain why we say mazal tov to our fellow on Simcha. Maybe what it really means is mazal tov is, it's like saying it's Tagninus. When a person in life, he has a Simcha, gets married, makes a bar mitzvah, makes a siyum, every time a person but reaches a milestone, what you're really doing is you're leaving your mazel. A person is set in a certain matzah, and now and the person is limited. Whatever mazel you, and now you get married. Married. A Jewish wedding. You're now like Avraham Avinu. Say it's Tagninus. The mazel that you had until now doesn't apply anymore. Doesn't apply that mazel. That mazel is over. You're now entering into a new realm, a new world, a mazal tov. It's a gather of Tseili it's Tagninus. You're not subject to the mazel.
So it has an influence, but...
Okay, that's a different approach. That's a whole different mahal. Okay. That's a whole different approach. I accept that, of course, that's true. Mazel is obviously a very, very big, big topic, but on a very, very skeleton level, bare bones, Avraham Avinu, he looked into the mazel, I'm finished. Hashem said, same as Tagninus, you're not subject. Why are you not subject to the mazel? Because Hashem is on your side. Hashem's presence is with you. Tisha B'Av, Hashem disappeared. Hashem says, you're finished. Beis Hamikdash is over. I'm out of here. Shechin is leaving. So now what are we back to? We're back to an existence like Avraham Avinu, before Hashem said, same as Tagninus. So now we're back with the mazel. And what does the mazel tell us? You're in a lot of trouble. And Avraham Avinu, he said that himself. We're not in Mechadish, that was said by Avraham Avinu. So this is the kina of the mazolos that we recite on the night of Tisha B'Av. Okay, then over there, that's the last kina for the night. And then obviously, see over here, V'yatok Kodosh, then we see V'nuscha Tzvila. Then we don't say the Hinoyam, like we explained before. Because the Hinoyam was said, on after the Beis Hamikdash, the Mishkan was built. Now that it's been destroyed, it's not appropriate. Mm-hmm. And we just say V'yatok Kodosh, we yearn for the restoration. The restoration, we recite V'yatok Kodosh, and then we recite Kaddish without Tiskabel. Okay, this is very, you say Kaddish twice, Mitzoy, you say Kaddish twice, Mitzoy, Mitzoyah Shabbos twice. Once is after you finish the silent Shemona Esrei, and then you indeed say Tiskabel. You do say after you finish the silent Shemona Esrei. It's very important not to get mixed up. But this is Mitzoyah Shabbos. After you finish the silent Shemona Esrei, the Shliach Tzibur recites Kaddish Sholem. And he does say Tiskabel. Tiskabel, Tzilasohoy, Me Hashem, you accept our prayers. Then we begin Eicha. Okay, then we begin Eicha. And by the way, this year, La Halacha, we make the bracha Borei Me'oirei Ho'esh. Havdalah is not made until Sunday night. But we do make a bracha Borei Me'oirei Ho'esh Motzoi Shabbos. Because the bracha Borei Me'oirei Ho'esh is only said Motzoi Shabbos as a zecher for the creation of fire. Hashem put a machshav into the mind of Adam Arishayim to rub two stones together to produce a spark. And obviously he had something combustible on site to ignite, to make a fire, to burn, and he make a bracha Borei Me'oirei Ho'esh Motzoi Shabbos. When is the appropriate time to do so? So here in the Siddur, they put the bracha Borei Me'oirei Ho'esh after you say Kaddish Sholem, after finishing the silent Shemona Esrei. Then we sit down on the floor and we recite Eicha. One person leads, and then we continue the kinos with the kinos that we recite, and then after the kinos over, we say Kaddish again. But this time, when we say Kaddish again, you omit Tiskabel Tzilay Sohoin Uva Usohoin. Why do you omit Tiskabel? Because once we begin Eicha and kinos, we acknowledge that we don't have a Beis HaMikdash. Beis HaMikdash is the Beis Tefillah. He basically Beis Tefillah L'chol V'amim. We have a Beis HaMikdash. There's no Beis HaMikdash. And it says in Eich as well, is that Sosam Tefillah. Hashem said to Klal Yisrael on Tisha B'Av, I don't want to hear from you. My prayers have been shut down. Sosam Tefillah. I don't want to listen to your prayers. So it would be chutzpah for us to say to Hashem after Tiskabel Tzilay Sehoin Uva Usehoin, accept the prayers of the Jewish people, that would be chutzpah. When Hashem says to us on this night in Eicha, it says that Hashem took away the Beis HaMikdash, which is a mockery of a Beis Tefillah. He took away our ability to communicate. And Eicha, it says that our tools have been shut off, sealed off. It would not be appropriate for us to say to Hashem Tiskabel Tzilay Sehoin Uva Usehoin after reading Eicha and saying these kines. Baruch.
You just mentioned Shemei Ka'ani. You're supposed to say along with
Eicha with the Okay, so that's a general rule with every Haftorah.
Right.
Right. So unfortunately we don't really do this. Baruch is saying this out on a regular Shabbos. If you go to a shul where they do not have parchment, they do not have cloth for the Haftorah, which is probably most shuls. Most shuls never have cloth. It's a new thing today, but most shuls do not have cloth. So how are you yoytzei the reading of the Haftorah? So what are you going to say? So you're going to say, well, Shemei HaKoinah. The person, now first of all, I'm assuming everyone here is Nusuch Ashkenaz. If you daven Nusuch Sfard, so then everyone's supposed to say it to themselves. Okay, unfortunately, I don't know how well that goes off. But everyone is supposed to say it, everyone says it? Okay, but everyone is supposed to say the Haftorah to themselves. If you daven in a shul, an Ashkenaz shul, it's not done. The person gets not to read the Haftorah. So how is everyone in the shul, the tzibur, the yoytze, the reading of the Haftorah? So people will tell you, Shomei HaKoinah, you listen. It's very problematic because the person reading the Haftorah is reading it from a Chumash. And do we apply the principle of Shomei HaKoinah when someone is reading Psukim from a Chumash? Not so simple. The ideal thing would be, it says in the Mishnah Berurah, is there should be 10 people in the shul who read along together with, quietly, who read along together with the Baal Kriya. So when 10 people in the shul are reading along quietly with the Baal Kriya, that elevates the potency of the Baal Tzvila to be moitzi everyone else with Shemei HaKoinah, even though he's not reading it from cloth. The Mishnah Berurah says this. I'm not mistaken.
But there's another way.
What?
There's another way. It's cloth.
we're only looking at
the Tanakh. No, it's not the same. The Tanakh is the same thing. You need, even with the Tanakh,
I'm just repeating what I was saying.
You need 10. It's a Tanakh is still not klaf. It's not dioy.
But it's on a higher level.
Okay, that's machlokes. The Chaz Nish holds is no bigger mila. The Chaz Nish held that a klaf, the Tanakh doesn't do any mila. The mila to be yoytzei shmei ha'koine is 10 people in the Beis HaKnesses reading along silently, quietly. Just the fact that there are 10 people saying along with the Balkriya, 9 other people saying along, reading along quietly with the Balkriya, that elevates the potency of the Baal Kriya to a degree where now, even though he's reading it from paper, can might say everyone in the room with Shomei HaKoine. However, I would assume that 99% of the Ashkenaz shuls, there are not 10 people reading along with the Baal Kriya at the same time. Where I davened was a person who would make an announcement almost every shot, whenever he was there, I couldn't believe this, he would make an announcement. We need 10 people here, 9 people here to read along quietly with the Baal Kriya, so we're going to be Yotze the Haftarah. He would make this announcement, telling people to do it. Do people listen to him? I don't think so. He was very frustrated, so you know what he did? He bought for the yeshiva a set of klaf. He didn't buy the whole thing. He raised money, and over a period of time, he enjoyed this very much, so the Baal Kriya has to spend 5 hours working a setup to the pier. Because then no one has to read along. Then you can be yoytze with Shemeya Koine. The Baal Kriya will read from the klaf, the Haftorah, and everyone in the Beis HaKnesses can listen carefully, and they're yoytze with Shemeya Koine. Shemeya Koine, when you read from a chumash, is weak. It's a very weak thing. The Minhag HaOlam obviously is to be very, very lenient. Very lenient. I saw this written up somewhere. Is even though Yishataka Halak, what the Mishnah Berurah says, 10 people reading along, the Minhag HaOlam is to hold that you can be Yoitze Bidiyevet Shomea Ko'ine, even if only one person reads it, the Baal Kriya reads, and everyone listens. That's Pukhazi Ma Madvar. So Eich is the same thing. If Eich is going to be read from Klaf, then everyone is going to be Yoytze. It's going to be Yoytze, the reading of Eicha by Shemei HaKoine. If it's not being read from Klaf, it's being read from a Chumash. So it's the same thing. That lechatchila there should be 10 people reading along to upgrade the Baal Kriya to the potency of Mishneh. And it's not no different than any other half Torah. No different.
Does it say anywhere we have in our shul? I mean, we didn't even know it until about 20 years ago. We have. It looks like the Sefer Torah that it only
Sifra
has.
Sifra Daftarta. Right. The Gemara mentions it. Sifra Daftarta. Yeah, it's on there. That's good. It's good. I mean, it's definitely Ilchor. You don't have to have the whole Tanakh, the whole Navi. Even just that section, to read that selection from the Nevi'im on Klaf with Dioy. And written Kalacha also creates a potency for the reader to be Moitzi with Shemeach. And the Gemara mentioned the Sifra Daf Tarta. And they have it. A lot of shuls have it. Chaim one has a Sifra Daf Tarta. They don't use it. I think they sold it. They gave it away. A Sifra Daf Tarta. I know in Lakewood there's a shul that I know of is that it's a new shul startup. And I have a development. And it was hard enough to get a Sifra Torah. And they don't have money, and they wanted for the Haftarah. So they ask a few rabbanim what to do. They can either right now buy a Sifra Daftarta of all of the Haftarahs on Klaf Udiyoy, or they can buy one at a time. They should buy right now a Yeshaya. And for Yeshaya, they'll have all the Haftarahs of Yeshaya. And then when they'll have more money, they'll buy a Yirmiyah. They have more money, they'll buy a Yecheskel. Chulu will take them 10 years until they'll save up all the money. What should they do? Should they buy now a Sifra Daftarta or buy a Navi Yeshaya? So the psak that they got was to buy Yeshaya, not to buy Sifra Daftarta. That was the psak that they received. Who do they ask? I don't remember. I knew once upon a time who they asked. And I told them that you should buy better, a safer, a regular safer Yeshaya, not to spend the money on a Sifra Daftarta. Yeah.
We understand why you need out this combo after but we don't understand on per night why we did not discover.
The same thing, because nothing changed. Because Purim is a letdown. After you read, after Akati Avdi Achashverosh Hashanah, Purim, and Purim is the Me'ein of Tisha B'Av.
It's a bad ending.
Nothing. At the end of Purim, what happened? Esther is living with a guy, and there's no Beis HaMikdash, and the stop order of rebuilding the Beis HaMikdash is in place, even though the Aseres, B'nai Haman, have been executed. Nothing changed. And nothing changed. Everything business as usual. So it was a letdown. It was a momentary revelation of Hashem's presence, but it was a letdown. Shalom Aleichem, the Rebbe Alein is here. Okay, therefore this part of the davening, we do not say Tiskabel. I always like to say there's a drush. What is the difference in Kaddish Yosayim? Kaddish Yosayim and Kaddish Tiskabel. Kaddish Shalim. Kaddish Shalim. What is Kaddish Yosayim? Kaddish Yosayim is Kaddish Shalim without Tiskabel. When you don't say Tiskabel, and when davening is over, at the end of every tefillah, you say a full Kaddish, it's called Kaddish Shalim. And the reason why it's called a full Kaddish is because you say at the end, may you, Hashem, accept our prayers. The most important part of Kaddish is the words Tiskabel Tziloi Sehoin Uvo Usehoin, the whole Beis Yisrael. Accept the prayers and supplication of the Jewish people. We say this expression when we conclude every single tefillah. If you leave out that line, what in essence have you said? You've said what a Yosan, an orphan, says L'zeicha Nishmas, his parent, or whoever he's saying Kaddish for. So here we finish the davening. We said Kaddish to Skabel when we finished the Shmoneh Esrei. But now Tisha B'Av really begins with Eicha and with Kinas. And then we say the Ato Kodosh. We say the Kiddush of the Sidra. So now when we say these three together, Eicha, which is the real Kinas, and then the Kinas, the first five Kinas, and then we say the Ato Kodosh. We say Kiddush of the Sidra, Kodosh, Kodosh, Kodosh. Baruch Kvod Hashem and Mekayim Hashem Yimloich. So upon this, we say another Kaddish. But we don't say Tiskabel. As a statement, we acknowledge the Musar. We acknowledge the Musar that we don't have a Beis HaMikdash. We don't have a Mokayim to pray to Hashem. And Hashem has shut out our Tzilois. So we deliberately omit. It's almost like, you know what you're really doing? There's no purpose. The reason why you're saying Kaddish, you're saying the Kaddish to show that you're not saying Tiskada. That's really what it is. There's no need to say this Kaddish, really. There's really no need. All the reasons, all of the commentators, they struggle. Why are you saying Kaddish? You already said Kaddish. You finished Shmoneh Esrei, and you said Tiskada. You're done. So what are you saying another Kaddish? Because you said Eicha. Because you said Kinois. Because you said Zriato Kodosh, Yoshe, Filos, Shor, Vakar, Zel, Zev, Yomar. Really? Really? That's a reason why you should now say another Kaddish to Skabo? Really? That's not so simple. You know the answer is you're right. There's no reason. You know why we're saying this Kaddish? We want to do it again, the original Kaddish to Skabo, and leave out the Tiskabo. It's basically a statement. This that we said tonight, after we finished the Shmoneh Esrei, a Kaddish Sholem and a Tiskabel, you know, we made a mistake, let's do it again. And this time we're going to leave out the Kaddish Tiskabel, the line of Tiskabel. It's basically a public service announcement. What do you mean? So we say the Kaddish Tiskabel after that. Every single day when we say the Ato Kaddish, we don't say the Kaddish Tiskabel until the very end. So when we say Tiskabel Tzloison on a regular morning, that goes back on the Shmoneh Esrei and on the Ato Kaddish, the Kiddush of the Sidra. But on Tisha B'Av night, we already did it. When we finished the Shmoneh Esrei, we said Kaddish Tiskabel. We asked Hashem to accept our prayers. So why are you saying Kaddish again? Just because you said Eicha, and you said Kinois, and you said Vi'ato Kodesh, So what? It's not strong enough that you should be required to say again, Hashem, accept our prayers. You know what the answer is? The reason is because now that we've said Eicha, and we've said Kinas, and we realize what we're missing, we say, you know what? Let's go backwards. And let's make a public service announcement. There's a mistake in the art scroll Siddur. And this that we said after we finished Ma'ariv, a full Kaddish Sholem, and we said, Tiskabel Tzolaisonu Va'usahoyin, now after thinking about it, and saying Eicha, and saying Kinois, and realizing that we're in a lot of trouble, and we have nothing here anymore in this world because of what we've done to ourselves, we really should not have said tonight, Tiskabel. So you know what, let's do it again. Let's say, it's like, now you go down Ocean Parkway. You go down Ocean Parkway, and there's a cop following behind you. It's the old days before they had all the cameras. And the guy goes from the beginning, or from the belt all the way down the Pacific Expressway. And there's a cop following behind you. And he finally pulls you over by Avenue C, or Beverly Road. And he says, you know, I've been following behind you all the way from the belt Parkway. You went through every 3 o'clock in the morning. You went through every red light. I can give you a ticket now for 20 red lights. Put you in the debt for all the red lights you went through. So the guy says, I have a bad day tonight. So he says, so the guy, you know what, I'll tell you what, I'm not going to give you any ticket, but what I'm going to make you do is I'm going to torture you instead. I want you to drive all the way back. So all the way back to the Bell Parkway, and I want you to go again, but this time stop at every red light. I want to torture you. That's what we're doing over here. We've come over here, we went through the whole night, we said David Meirev, we Shako, and we David Meirev, then we said Tiska Bell, Tzeloisahoy, Uvo Usahoy, the whole base Israel. Okay, Kinnis, Te'echa, Kinnis. And then we wake up and say, wow, who are we fooling? Who are we fooling? Tonight's Tisha B'Av. Tisha B'Av. What do? We daven Ma'ariv. We daven Ma'ariv tonight, and we said a Shemona Esrei, and we said Tiskabel Tzeloi Sehoi. Who are we fooling? After reading what it says in Eicha, after reading the Kinois, who are we fooling? Hashem didn't listen to our prayers. Sosam Tefilasi. Hashem took away the Beis HaMikdash. There's no Beis Tefila. Who are we fooling? You know what? I think we should repair the damage. Let's not at least go to sleep as a hypocrite. Let's not go to sleep tonight as a liar. Let's go back and do the Kaddish again. And this time we will omit Tiskabel. So we should be at least true to our words. We should at least acknowledge where we're holding. It's a redo. That's one mahalach. Another mahalach is we're not saying Kaddish Sholem. You know what you're saying? You're saying Kaddish Yosoim on the Beis HaMikdash. You're saying Kaddish Yosoim on the Kedoshim. When the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, it wasn't just the Shechinah left. The Neshama of the Beis HaMikdash went to Shemayim. The Kedoshim, the HaKohanim HaKedoshim, the people whose entire life was devoted, was intertwined with the Beis HaMikdash, gone. All the people, the tragedies of Jewish history that all have come because of the absence of the Hashras HaShchinah, you say it's a communal Kaddish. It's a Kaddish Yosoim. We're the Yosoimim. Yosoim Hayinu Ve'einav. We are saying Kaddish as a community over the Churban Beis HaMikdash. Because that's what it is. A Kaddish Sholem without a Tiskabel is a Kaddish Yosem. And this itself is from the biggest kinos. The Klali Sholem has to say Kaddish over the Beis HaMikdash, over all the Churbanos, over the Kedoshim of all the generations. That itself is a very powerful kinos in and of itself. Then what happens next, after you say this, what do you do next? Right. So you know there's Dr. Aaron Mandel, you know what he told me? Dr. Aaron Mandel, I don't know if you know him in the neighborhood. He was one of the first people who started a program on Tisha B'Av. He told me, remember people at Tisha, what people didn't know what to do? They came out, they finished the kinnas, they were like groping in the darkness. What do we do? So that's, I don't even know how to hear them. Before my time, he started this Tisha B'Av program. That was before the days of internet, before the movies. Today, on Tisha B'Av, they have movies you can watch the whole day. You can watch professional movies. You can go to concerts. There's unlimited activities today on Tisha B'Av to keep you busy. But in those days, there was nothing. Maybe that was type of good. Tisha B'Av is, you should have to be bored out of your mind. You can't learn. And when you can't learn, you can't do anything. There's nothing to do. They didn't have all these books those days. They didn't have, what do you think? What is life about? It shakes you up. When you have nothing to do, it really shakes you to the core. That's the way Tisha B'Av really, I really believe we would be much better off today. I really, really believe deep down, if there'd be no movies, no programs, nothing. Can you imagine Tisha B'Av today? Nothing. No learning, no movies to go to, no internet, and just walk around the whole day in the hot sun, starving and bored to death. And you know what would happen? You'd be forced to think about life. What's the purpose of all this? It would shake us up. All of the stuff we do today, it's all a big distraction. Going
but
through all
a,
these.
It's a positive distraction.
Yes, because that's
people
the,
will find positive
distractions. Okay, so right, they'll find other distractions. Okay, but when I was a kid, when we were all kids, it was the boringest day in the world. In camp, it was hot. It was nothing, literally nothing to do. Boring. There's some boring is boring. You climb the walls on Tisha B'Av. And there was no air conditioning those days. It was hot. It was boring. It shook you up. And even thinking about it, oh no, Tisha B'Av is coming. Oh no. People tell me now they can't wait for Tisha B'Av. They can't wait to go to the movies to see this one's a movie, that one's a movie, this presentation, that. Not a joke! I'm telling you, people tell me, oh, they wait the whole year for Tisha B'Av to go here. And Hirsch Weinreb, he says, the kinois, I can't wait for this. That's not the way it was when I was a kid. It was torture. Just thinking about Tisha B'Av was torture. Today, we've created an industry of distractions galore that have really taken away of what Tisha B'Av really is all about. You ever look at the Holocaust survivors when the camps were liberated, these pictures, when they liberated the camps? You see the haunting pictures, people just sitting and looking into, just looking. They just sit. You see these pictures of the Holocaust survivors. They're just sitting and looking nowhere. In a state of like shock. And that's what we should be doing on Tisha B'Av. You just sit and do nothing.
Yoishev
Bodod V'Yidon, Ki Notal Olof.
Rabbi, these programs are very inspirational.
Oh, they are? Not to know. Of course, that's why we go to them. That's why they are. But you know what's even more inspirational? You know what's even more inspirational? Sitting and doing nothing.
Yeah, well.
No one's on that level today. That's not the way the world works today, obviously. Okay, but today, so he told me, he told me what he did in those days when this program first started. People, when they finished the night program, they went to sleep in the hall. In La Chateau, remember La Chateau?
Yeah.
He told me he had there in the heyday, he rented 2,000 chairs. And at the end of the day, Matisyo Solomon came to speak, there wasn't one chair left, and there were people standing on the aisles. Over 2,000 people were there at the end of the day, and the whole day was packed, and the night also. And then people, you know what they did when they after they took Eichon the Kinnis and had the speakers, 11 o'clock? They went to sleep on the floor in the hall, in La Chateau. Only
like
20 years ago. We have nowhere to go. Why should we go? Tomorrow is 8 o'clock. Where are we going? They lie down on the floor in the hall, and people slept in the hall for a whole night. Can you imagine that? It was only 20 years ago here in Flatbush. It was a different type of world 20 years ago. The night, Tikkun Chatzos, and the Yom Shem tomorrow, we will continue.
Bring him over here.
The Ariya Kadesh and Rabbi Ezra, hold it. And Rabbi Chaim Isaac.